Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of This Expat Life. Live from my living room in The Hague, but not for much longer because I already bought some tickets again. I'll be spending a couple of weeks in Mexico this summer, also going to the US again. And then after summer, I'm officially moving to Mexico City for at least a year. Let's see how it's going to go. But this is the plan. And honestly, I am so excited. It has really boosted my energy in the last few months, ever since I made the decision. And it feels like everything is flowing again. And I shared more about that, I think, already in previous episodes. And for sure, I will soon dedicate an episode to some of the things that have changed since I made the decision and how I'm going through it. But for now, this is just my update. I'm doing very well. I'm very happy and life is good. So today, what I wanted to talk about is something else, and actually something that is being triggered for me now as well. And it's a topic I've been wanting to talk about for longer. Seriously, this topic has been on my podcast ideas list for, I think, well over a year. And it is because I keep seeing it again and again with my clients, with the people I talk to who are reaching out because they want to get coached or join one of my programs. And it might be because I have it too, so I'm attracting those kind of people. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it is something that is generally among high achieving expats, but there is one quality that I just keep on seeing. And it has been an asset for most of you. I'm just going to assume you have this quality too. But it can also turn into a trap. And that's what I want to talk about today. So the quality that I want to talk to you about is your self-reliance. As an expat, you have been needing that self-reliance a lot. You probably move countries alone. You had to figure out visas, taxes, housing situations. You had to rebuild your social circle again and again. You're adapting to new cultures. You're solving problems independently. And you had to do a lot on your own to make this new life abroad work well for you. And even if you moved abroad with a spouse or a family or a partner or whatever, there might be still a good chance that you have that self-reliance a lot, because I've been also coaching some men actually who feel like, okay, it was my decision to move abroad, so I need to make sure that everything is fine and I don't want to be an extra burden on my family. So this self-reliance really pops up for high-achieving expats, especially if you are a serial high-achieving expat, because there is just a lot that you need to take care of. Way more than your peers back home. Because your peers back home, they might also be very self-reliant, but it's maybe not coming to the forefront that much because their daily context remains the same. And what I've been seeing in my own life, with my friends, with my clients, is all these things come up, you know, the cultural adaptation, the finding your way around, the dealing with so much bureaucracy and paperwork. Constantly landing on your feet, learning to regulate yourself, building careers without familiar systems around you. There's so much that you need to do that a lot of high-functioning expats become incredibly self-reliant because they had no other option. This life abroad simply asks that from you. But I do want to go a bit further with this because, again, I have no statistical evidence, but what I have been seeing with the people I have been coaching, and again, it might be because I'm attracting them, is that their self-reliance has obviously got them very far in their global life, but it's not like the global life built or strengthened that self-reliance. The self-reliance was already there as a pretty dominant quality. So the people that I've been coaching are people who have grown up in difficult family dynamics, for example, or they had certain circumstances in as a child, as a teenager, or in their 20s that really made them be like, oh, I need to rely on myself if I want to be happy, if I want to make life work for me. I myself as well, both my parents were alcoholics. I also spent my teenage years officially in foster care with two families that I already knew, including One of them was my own family, actually. But hell yeah, that childhood made me incredibly self-reliant, because for the first 15 years of my life, I didn't really have parents I could properly rely on. And this is something that I see with so many of the people that I work with as well. Maybe not as dramatic or serious as my own childhood, but there were quite some occasions where they were left on their own because their parents were working all the time, or a family, like one of their parents had died, or there was something else going on in their childhood that really made them resilient and self-reliant. So I'm not quite sure if expat life made you self-reliant because it forced you, or if you already had that self-reliant deeply embodied within you since you were young. And if you hear me talk and you're like, ooh, this resonates, well, you are in the right place, because a lot of people that I coach, as I said, have had that self-reliance for a long time. So that self-reliance that you have is a great asset. Like I said, it got you very far because it was necessary for you to build this wonderful global life that you have, even though you might want to change a few things here and there. It is something that you can rely on again and again. With that self-reliance, you know that, and I hope you really know this, that you're aware of this, with that amazing quality that you have, you know that no matter what comes on your path, you have the ability within yourself to keep going and to make it work for you. This is a great skill, self-reliance. You're not reliant on other people to make life work for you. You're not outsourcing your happiness too much to other people or to external circumstances. You're making it work for yourself. And I think that is a quality that needs to be celebrated. However, I also really do believe that self-reliance can become a trap. And this is what I see a lot with the people who reach out to me, because they have become so used to figuring things out on their own that they stop asking for support. Or, and I'm very guilty of this myself as well, that, for example, they start to isolate when they're struggling. Like when work is tough and maybe there's a breakup and there's just a lot of, I don't know, bunch of bad things going on. Instead of reaching out for support, you actually think, well, I'm just gonna like curl up on the couch and watch Netflix or take a hot bath or just mind my own business for a while. And when I feel better, then I'll reach out again. Unfortunately, if you do that, like you do tend to overthink on your own as well. You're alone. You can stay in certain loops, like thought loops for a long time, but maybe even loops that become a certain behavior loop for years. You can start intellectualize your emotions instead of properly feeling them and expressing them with others around. And for many of you, and I'm thinking, have I been guilty of this? Yeah, probably. You think that needing support can also mean failure. That if you ask for support, it means you can't do it on your own, and therefore you are, or it is, a failure. And this is where I really feel that it's becoming a trap, because so many of you keep thinking, I should be able to solve this myself. I need to figure this out by myself. And a lot of the people that I speak to who are interested in the Copilot, for example, but also my one-on-one coaching journey, they tell me this literally. They say like, oh, but I just need to figure it out. Like, I just need more time. I just need to think a little bit more. I just need to go through some stuff first. And it's really the belief underneath it of, I should be able to solve this myself, and not a belief of, I can actually ask support for it. And sometimes this self-reliance is no longer like an empowerment, like this amazing skill that you have. It also becomes protection, because you trust yourself to move countries and to navigate bureaucracy and to perform professionally. Although I think quite a few of you, mostly women, maybe do not trust yourself fully in that too, because of imposter syndrome. But generally, with those things, you trust yourself to make it happen, like more the practical matters. But you do not necessarily trust yourself in the emotional ones. For example, like Do you really trust yourself that you're allowed to soften, that you're allowed to receive support, that you can be witnessed in uncertainty and still feel okay about it, even when people are looking at you in your deepest, most raw emotions? Or do you trust yourself to feel really, really deeply? Or have you been relying so much on that self-reliance, like, I'll just figure it out on my own? And this is where, you know, what we're talking about touches on upon a few other things, like also this tendency to overthink everything and to analyze your emotions instead of feeling it. But I really do think that that self-reliance is a big part of it. And your independence can, you know, again, is great, but it can also quietly become a certain type of loneliness. Not one where you don't meet with people, because probably you have a social life and maybe you want it better and deeper and more frequent, or people closer to you, but you do have a social life. So on the outside, it may feel like you're not alone or lonely, but on the inside, it could very well feel that way. Because if you're always used to doing everything on your own, taking care of everything, making sure that everything is working, that you're not a burden to other people, that you're always the one taking care of things, you can start to feel unseen. And actually, a friend of mine called me yesterday saying exactly this, that she's like, I'm always the big one, the tough one, the one who figures it out, but no one actually asks me, how are you feeling? How are you holding up? And this feeling of not being seen can really create a sort of like emotional loneliness, where it's not about like social activities that you do, but really like you feel alone in your going through life. And I for sure have felt this way, especially the last couple of years, where I was so self-reliant, taking care of my own business, you know, personal business, but also my actual business, my two cats, my house, everything by myself, that, yeah, it's lonely sometimes, and it's exhausting as well. Sometimes you just want to be able to lean onto someone else, onto support. And this is where I hope this episode is really going to help you see that your self-reliance is great, but it can also, it has this tipping point where it turns into something that is blocking you, something that is a trap. And I had my own big aha moment, because I was incredibly self-reliant, as I said, never needing any help. You know, I was always taking care of things on my own. Also, not, I wasn't the one like arranging everything for everyone else. I'm not that kind of people pleaser, but I was just minding my own business. And like, I was taking care of my own stuff. And I have a really funny example, actually, because when I did my coaching training, we met up on the weekend to practice one of that, or a couple of things, and we had some intervision. And it was, I think we were meeting at around 11 or 12 or maybe 1, I'm not quite sure. And I had to go from The Hague to Amsterdam by train. So we arrived there, and one of them looked around and she said, she was like, oh my God, what is going on right now is actually so typical of us. Because the host had actually created a really lovely lunch, making sure that everything was there. One of the others had brought homemade cookies that she had baked the day before. And me, I had brought my own lunch. And so I think it was really showing to us, like, the cookie baker, she is someone who nurtures a lot and she takes care of a lot of people. And she's very soft and warm, like this mother energy. And she was showing that. And me, I wasn't necessarily taking care of anyone, but I also didn't want to be a burden to the hosts. And I was like, well, I'm going to get hungry, so I need to make sure I can feed myself. I get really hangry. So this was just a small example of how that self-reliance came up again in a micro moment. But it's such an example of those bigger tendencies that we have in life. And I see these kinds of reflections always with my clients, in their words that they use, in how they're showing up to the calls, in the small moments in their lives. How you do one thing is how you do everything. So how are you eating your lunch? So anyway, my big aha moment really came after my dad had passed away. And I've spoken about this perfect storm before, but this was the period in my life where I had moved from Brazil to the Netherlands after a few years in Brazil. 3 weeks after that, my dad passed away. I was living in a new home, no lights, no curtains. The pandemic was going on. In the middle of my grief, I fell in love with someone who broke my heart brutally after that. And there was a strict lockdown going on, and I just felt so uprooted, not at home where I was, even though it was my home country, and so like I lost so much. And I remember one night I was crying and I couldn't fall asleep, but the crying turned into, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the word, the breathing where you can't really breathe, the hyperventilation. And the old me would just be like, well, I mean, I don't, like, it's fine, just, you know, think clearly, it's going to be okay. But that me at that time, who I've nurtured since, was like, no, it's too much for me to handle alone. So I remember it was like 10 to midnight, and I called my best friend, and she picked up the phone, and she just heard me crying, and I was just like, I can't, you know, like. And she was like, just, it's okay, just breathe. And she sat with me for almost half an hour on the phone, just calming me down. And after that, you know, I felt a lot calmer, and I'm still so grateful for this moment and for her. But I felt vulnerable, you know, like I felt a bit like, oh, I was claiming a lot in a way. Like I was taking up a lot of space with my most raw emotions. But that moment taught me so much, because her support helped me in that very moment and helped me a lot afterwards as well. Because that moment taught me I can always call her whenever I need to, because she's there for me. And ever since that moment and since that whole episode of and my perfect storm, I've really learned to rely a lot more on people and to not always do everything on my own and to ask for support. And it's not easy. It's still not easy. You know, now that sometimes I can see, okay, it's too much for me to handle. In the past with breakups, but also like last year, was it a year ago? Yeah, a year and a half ago. I hosted my own live event in Amsterdam. And the day before, I realized it is way too much for me to do it on my own. I need some emotional and practical support there. So I called the same friend who helped me the entire day. So for those things, it has become a lot easier for me to ask support. But for other things, you know, just last week I was reminded by someone who said, Amanda, you don't have to do everything on your own. We can help you. I was like, okay. So the self-reliance is still there, but I have really softened it and I've really allowed for support to come in. And needing that support has really taught me how great it is to ask and receive support. As humans, you know, we are social beings, we need other people, and we are a collective, and we can't just go on our own, even though our Western society, I think, has made us believe that quite a lot. And the proof in your life has probably also shown that, you know, like, okay, it is good to have your self-reliance, but we are still social beings, and we interact with each other, we need each other. And what I've seen in my own life with others is that alone you can go very far, but it can be exhausting doing everything on your own. But together we can learn a lot more and a lot faster. And you can absolutely continue trying to do everything on your own as you have done for a long time, as many expats do. But at some point you really realize that the next chapter of your life requires something different than the strategies that got you there. And opening yourself up to support from others or to rely on others can give you those different perspectives. And there's an example that I was recently sharing on my masterclass from one of my clients. I thought it was such a perfect example of how the self-reliance and the tendency to think your way to clarity comes together. But this was one of my clients who reached out to me, I think also a year and a half ago now. And she was living in Asia and she had a solid job, but nothing like too challenging or interesting. But it was just like it paid the bills and she was a bit bored, but like it was a stable job. And she also was wondering if she wanted to have kids with her partner. And she had those three questions, basically, like, do I want to start a family? Do I want to change a job? And do I want to stay here? And on her own, she had been trying to find her answers for a year and a half. A year and a half of trying to think her way through it. She made pros and cons lists, she listened to podcasts, she read books, she talked about it with friends, with her partner. She tried to rationalize a few things, and she simply couldn't get to her answers. And then she reached out to me. And by session two, she had not found her answers yet, but she told me, "I already feel a lot calmer now, because even though I don't have my answers, I have started to look at my questions in a different way, and I'm actually really committing to finding my answers. Rather than they were on my mind and I would try something and it would just, you know, I wouldn't find the answers and I would avoid it for a little bit again." And by session three, she had an answer to one question. And by session four, she had the answer to all her questions. And actually, a couple of months ago, she called me and she said, "I'm pregnant." So, and she also got another job offer, which was great. So it was all coming together. And this is just to show that, you know, going through things on your own can get you far, and it can, you know, it can absolutely get you to where you want to go. But if you open yourself up to do the journey with other people, you can go a lot faster. Because she spent a year and a half on her own, and within, I think it was 3 months with me, she had her answers and felt super calm and confident about them as well. She was taking action like crazy. It was really nice to see. So this is just to say that leaving your self-reliance for a little bit and opening yourself up to the support of others can actually collapse timelines for you, because you can get to your where you want to go much, much faster, because you no longer have this one perspective that you're seeing. You actually have a lot more. So this is where your self-reliance is this one route that you can go usually. But when you soften it a little bit and you rely on other people, you expand, and this can bring you much further. And there's so much more actually about this softening your self-reliance. This is what something I've been seeing again and again and again and again in the Copilot, like literally every week, that the fact that when you hear other people talk about very similar situations, it brings this relief, this feeling of an exhalation. And this is what I see in the Copilot, which is a group program, or it's a do-it-yourself program, but with extra group support, where a lot of people who come into the Copilot are very hesitant on the group aspect, because they are like, "Well, I'm very private. I don't want to be a burden. My situation is so unique. Like, if I'm going to share about it, I'm going to take up too much space from the others. And maybe I need more one-on-one support because that suits me better." And I always have to tell them, I hear this all the time from everyone, and everyone who has gotten into the group is now raving about it. Because here's what's going on. They come in with their own situation, their questions, their decisions, all tangled up into this big thing in their heads, which is keeping them up at night, night after night. And then they get into the call and they hear someone talk about how a breakup recently made them really question if they still want to stay in that country, because actually they're also not liking their job anymore and they're 35, and shouldn't they start to settle down right now because all their friends back home are doing that? And they're like, oh, but wait, some details might be different, but this is actually my situation. And hearing that from someone else gives you this relief to realize, I'm not the only one going through this, which may sometimes feel that way in your circle, because your friends back home are maybe not, you know, dealing with the expat context of everything. And to then hear it from others, oh, okay, this is a space where I can be myself, where I can relax, where I can open up. So that relief alone is already worth so much. And when you have that relief of knowing you're in the right room, you also start to share more yourself. And that sharing is something that is so healing as well. One, because you're acknowledging it for yourself and you're being witnessed in your emotions, which is, or your expression or your words, which is healing. And it's also really telling yourself, okay, I'm acknowledging really this for me by sharing it with others. But by sharing more vulnerably, you also share more nuances of the truth. You open up more. And if you can go to that deeper level by being so open, you can also get better support. Because if you just talk on a more superficial level and you share there, you only allow yourself to open up for support to that superficial level. But when you go deep and you show your true self, I can also, and the rest of the community can also really help you and support you on that deeper level, which will do way more for you going to where you want to go. And another thing that I've seen in the group calls is that everyone like borrows kind of beliefs and inspiration from each other. Because if one or a couple of people are really working on their limiting beliefs of I have no time, or time is running out for me, or it's so hard for me to have everything that I want, and they're actively working on it and posting their wins about it, that is kind of like, oh, well, if they are doing it, maybe it's possible for me too. Or if they are going after their goal by taking so much action. I had one participant in the Copilot who wasn't completely satisfied with her job and location. And we always talk about gathering data, like taking action is just gathering data to tell you if you're on the right path. And so she started gathering data and she applied to like 7 super high level jobs in like 2 months, I think, and to realize what her answer actually was. But because she was so in this action mode, it inspired a lot of others inside the group as well to be like, okay, actually, I like this energy. So not only are you opening yourself more and there's this relief and exhalation, there's also this collective energy that you can tap into, that you can take from without any guilt or shame. Like, this is not selfish at all. You can really take that energy and use it for yourself. And so this is why I really love these group settings. And I always have to tell everyone, please just join, because it is going to unlock much more for you than you realize. And also, a lot of you are willing to hire a coach and work one-on-one and to get that support and to not be so self-reliant. But the people who work with me one-on-one get only my perspective, which is a good perspective. I'm a good coach. But if you join a group program, which may feel like, you know, an allergy to you if you're super self-reliant, you not only get my perspective, you also get the perspective of many others. Right now, I was welcoming a few new people inside the group, and there's already a lot of overlap in the countries where they were living and where they were thinking of moving to, and others who had done that before them. So they could also exchange like how it was, like experiences, how it was for them. So this is such a wonderful side of group programs. Your thought of like, oh, I need to figure it out alone. Sure. Yeah, you can get there. But the group actually is, or any group program, I mean, is really fantastic because it gives you so much more than you are realizing right now. And on a final note, the self-reliance, there is something that I see also with my one-on-one clients. I offer WhatsApp support in between the sessions because I really believe the sessions will give you great insights, but the real work is done in daily life. So I'm there with extra support. And I always have to tell everyone, please use it, because the people who have used the support the most have also had the biggest transformation, because they're simply more in contact with what they want to work on by taking up that space, by asking for support. And I'm happy that almost everyone is doing that, generating all these transformations. But this is just my plea for you to be a little bit less self-reliant and to start opening yourself up for support from others. And I want to ask you something. This is something that I do with some of my clients as well. Like I said before, how we do one thing is how we do everything. And so a lot of how we go through life is shown in our body as well. Right now, as I'm recording this episode, I am sitting on like the front of my chair. I am not leaning against the back. And this is so common for me. And it is so common for a lot of the people that I coach, because we're in forward direction, we're in motion, we are ready to tackle things. And it's also the self-reliance in a way. So often I invite my clients, especially if they're in this do energy and feeling like they're the only ones taking all the responsibility, to actually sit back, I'm doing that right now, to sit back and to feel the back of their chair in their back to really support them. So if you're listening to this episode seated, can you actually practice it now? And if you're listening elsewhere, do it later. Where you sit and really check in with yourself. Am I always leaning forward? Or am I already relaxed and leaning back? And if you are that forward-leaning person, well, one, welcome to the crowd. You're in the right place. And two, can you lean back now and really allow all your muscles to relax as well? Because it's one thing to lean against the chair, but to actually relax in it is another thing. And this is an example of what you can do more in your life as well, where you don't have to be the only one doing everything on your own, but you get to lean onto others. And if you want my support to be that chair for you to lean against, you know how to find me. All right, this was this episode for now. I would love to hear if this resonated with you, and I would also love to hear how self-reliance has been showing up for you in your life and what you're going to do to soften it a little bit. I'll see you soon again. Have a great day wherever you are.